Psalm 23 is arguably one of the most famous pieces of literature in the entire world. Its poetry is beautiful. Its truth is timeless. Its message is comforting. And its subject is glorious. When my next assignment is a scripture like Psalm 23, I feel like someone's asking me to draw a picture of the Sistine Chapel. I mean, my explanation of it, my drawing of it, just isn't going to do any justice to its depth and significance. But here we are. We've come to Psalm 23 in our study of the Psalms this morning. And here's my strategy. I am not even going to try to preach a masterpiece of a sermon. I'm just simply going to draw attention to the masterpiece that is Psalm 23. And I'm going to especially highlight the things that have been significant to me personally and to us pastorally. As we study this psalm this morning, my prayer is that Psalm 23 will encourage your faith in our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, kids, I have an assignment for you this morning. I would like to encourage you to draw some of the pictures that you hear and see coming out of Psalm 23 as I preach through this text this morning. So I'm going to be talking about five different scenes within this psalm. So maybe you're going to come up with five different pictures on that piece of paper that we gave you on the way in. And by the way, adults, you feel free to do this as well if you want to. But I'd love to see the pictures afterwards. All right? Now, for everyone who can read, and that's adults included, I would like to encourage you to find a Bible, and let's read together Psalm 23 in unison. Would you join me? Let's read. Psalm 23, out loud, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is God's word. Amen, amen and amen to that masterpiece. So far in our study of the Psalms, David has used a number of metaphors and images to describe God, hasn't he? David has talked about God as a glorious king or a strong deliverer. He has talked about God as a fortress and a rock and our shield. But now, in Psalm 23, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Martin Luther said about this, when the scriptures call God our Lord, our King, our Creator, these names sound glorious and majestic and bring with them awe and fear. This is not the case with the word shepherd. It brings to the godly, when they read it or hear it, a confidence, a consolation, a security, like the word Father. David understood this metaphor intimately because David was a shepherd. Psalm 23 is a shepherd talking about his shepherd. We can imagine that David may have composed this psalm while sitting in the field watching over his flock. The imagery of a shepherd and his sheep is a relationship of absolute responsibility and utter dependence. The shepherd is absolutely responsible for every aspect of the flock's life. He lives with the sheep. He provides everything for the flock that they need. He feeds them, leads them, cares for them, protects them, and he does it day and night. Absolute responsibility. And likewise, the sheep are utterly dependent on their shepherd. Kept sheep cannot survive without a shepherd. They are vulnerable to any number of predators. As we come to Psalm 23, if we think about it, Psalm 23 presents all of us as sheep, and it presents us with two ways to live. One way, the Psalm 23 way to live, is that we follow the Lord as our shepherd. The other way, the anti-Psalm 23 way to live, is that we're pretty much operating as our own shepherds. And while that seems to offer the greatest freedom in life, it actually becomes the greatest danger. David Powlison, a Christian counselor, has written what he called the anti-Psalm 23. It captures the reality of life after the novelty of independence has worn off. It's the photographic negative of David's Psalm 23. The anti-Psalm 23 by David Powlison. I'm on my own. No one looks out for me or protects me. I experience a continual sense of need. Nothing's quite right. I'm restless, easily frustrated, and often disappointed. My soul feels broken, twisted, and stuck, and I can't fix myself. I stumble down dark paths, but still I insist I want to do what I want, when I want it, and how I want. But life is confusing. Why don't things ever really work out? I'm haunted by emptiness and futility, the shadows of death. Death is waiting for me at the end of every road, but I'd just rather not think about it. I feel alone, facing everything that could hurt me. I can't really trust anyone. No one has my back. No one is really for me except me. I feel empty. Disappointment follows me all the days of my life. Will I just be obliterated into nothingness? Will I be alone forever, free-falling into some sort of void? Life, for me, is a living death, and then I'll die. Friends, that's no way to live. And yet, it's the experience of many. But we don't have to live that way. Friend, you don't have to live that way. God has provided a shepherd for your souls. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Everything changes when you see who Jesus Christ really is. Everything changes. You see the God whose glory you're meant to worship. When we see Jesus, we see the Savior who has come to rescue us from ourselves. When we see Jesus, we see the one who is able to forgive our sin, give us purpose in life, and secure us forever and ever and ever. And when you understand what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you, you will love him who has loved you first. As we approach Psalm 23 this morning, we realize it's really only for those who can truly say, the Lord Jesus is my shepherd. Because we're not God's sheep unless Jesus is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that? Well, if so, then the purpose of Psalm 23, as I have considered it this week, is to show us our shepherd and encourage us to trust him in all of life. So I want to show you this morning five reasons that you can trust Jesus as your shepherd. First of all, Psalm 23 verses 1 and 2 gives us reason number one. Jesus provides all we need. Our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, provides all we need. Look at verse 1 and 2 again of this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. The image here is that the shepherd provides what the sheep need and in the way that they need it. Did you notice that? He provides food and water by leading them to grassy meadows and refreshing streams. But more than that, notice that the sheep lie down in those meadows and the water is still so that they can rest beside it. The emphasis here is on health and contentment. Doesn't that sound good? Health and contentment. Are you spiritually healthy and content today? Our Lord Jesus provides all that we need for spiritual health and contentment in life. The Bible teaches us that he is the bread of life. He feeds us with truth, real truth, not the junk food that the world offers. The Bible teaches that he is the living water that quenches the deepest thirst of our souls, things that we long for, like unconditional love, meaningful identity, significant purpose in life. They're all found and provided for by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he doesn't just provide these things. He provides them in the way that we need them so that we can rest. He calls us away from laboring to try to keep all the laws and do enough to please God so that we can rest in his grace. We rest through humble repentance of sin. And by simply following him by faith. So I ask you again, are you healthy and content this morning? Man, what would it be like? I mean, to be able to say, really, really say, right here today, I have everything I need. I want for nothing. Psalm 23 is suggesting that the only way that we can be spiritually healthy and content is by trusting our shepherd, by resting in what he has provided for us. We recognize that the danger here is in discontentment, isn't it? And we feel that discontentment in our souls. Discontentment isn't satisfied with what our shepherd has given us. Discontentment desires something different, something better, something more. We feel like we could be content if, right? If we just had a better health or maybe better wealth, if we just had a different job or maybe a different spouse, we could be content if we just had more friends or more opportunities. We could be content if discontentment. But trusting our shepherd is understanding that if he hasn't provided it, it's not best for us. And so while the world around us offers plenty of pastures that look really green and plenty of streams that appear that they might satisfy our souls, they prove to be barren deserts and toxic waters. Only our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, provides what we need and in the way that we need it. And only our shepherd is willing to withhold from us the things that will actually rob us of our health and our life. Jeremiah Burroughs, in his excellent book, The Rare Jewel of Contentment, wrote, "Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in the Lord's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition." Friends, the Lord has provided everything we need. The question is, are we content? You can trust the Lord Jesus. He provides all we need. Number two, we can trust Jesus, our shepherd, because he leads us where we need to go. That's verse 3. He leads us where we need to go. He's a good shepherd. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There's two images here of the shepherd's leadership. He restores us to himself, and then he leads us on the right paths. Now, we know that sheep are notorious for wandering off into dangerous places, aren't they? Well, 1 Peter chapter 2 says that we are like sheep who have strayed, but the gospel is this, that through the sacrificial death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been, quote, returned, restored to the shepherd and overseers of our souls. The Lord Jesus Christ has restored our souls. He has given us life and restored us back to God again. But even after our conversion, even after regeneration, is it not true that we're still prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Ah, the remnants of sin pull us away. One commentator encourages us in this gospel truth, though. Sheep are prone to wander, and the farther they proceed, the more they are bewildered, and the more unlikely to return to the shepherd. Alas, the resemblance is too exact. Christians, although renewed in the spirit of their mind, carry about with them the remnant of corruption and a principle of departure from the living God. Take away or suspend the influence of God's grace, and the most enlightened and tried believer goes astray the next moment. How far the regenerated might go is not for us to conjecture, but that they shall not finally perish is one of the plainest promises of the Bible. Between the circumspection of grace and the damnation of hell, there's ample room for sinning and for chastisement. Friend, aren't you glad that your shepherd never gets tired of restoring you? And once restored, our shepherd leads us on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Do you see that in verse 3? He leads us where we need to go. Now, the image is true. Sheep must be led. They must be led to the next pasture, and they must be led away from danger. And so the shepherd leads, and the sheep must what? Follow. That's why Jesus says in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The person who says, "The Lord is my shepherd," but doesn't actually follow him, is deceiving himself. Friends, we prove to be Jesus's sheep by following our shepherd. And we can be sure that we're following Jesus if we're walking in the light as he is in the light. We can be sure we're following Jesus if we're walking in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Ephesians chapter 5. We can be sure that we're following Jesus if we're walking in the way of the cross that involves self-denial and sacrifice, because Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." These are the paths of righteousness on which our shepherd will lead us. And before we leave this, notice why he leads us on the paths of righteousness. Look there in verse 3 at the end. "For his name's sake." To show the glory of his name and the power of his gospel, the Lord Jesus makes new people out of all of us, new people who walk on paths of righteousness to show his glory to a watching world and to our watching kids. So friends, the Lord is leading. The question is, are you following? We can trust our shepherd. Reason number 3, because he comforts us in the face of death. When you face death, what will comfort you? knowing that you're surrounded by your family. But then what? Verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The imagery here is obviously of the shepherd leading his sheep through some dark valley that presents the danger of death. Sheep would naturally be fearful, except that one of the sheep says, "You are with me. The shepherd is with us." I love what Derek Kidner noted. In times of need, especially in times of death, companionship's good, but it's very good that he's armed. Notice what it is that gives comfort, not just the presence of the shepherd, but his rod and his staff give comfort in this valley that presents the darkness and dangers of death. The rod is a club worn at the belt of the shepherd. It's a weapon to beat off wild animals. Our shepherd is armed. Sheep can't do anything against a wild animal, but the shepherd can. The staff, well, that's not just for him to walk with, but that's to control the flock. The sheep are comforted by the shepherd's protection and control, his guidance. Christian friend, when we find ourselves facing the shadow of death, the first thing that Psalm 23 comforts us with is the knowledge that the same shepherd who led us to grassy meadows and on paths of righteousness led us here. You will never face the shadow of death without the presence of your shepherd, Christian friend. Never. But Psalm 23 teaches us that it's the presence of the shepherd that gives us comfort. Alexander McLaren said, "He who guides into the gorge will guide us through it." It's not a cul-de-sac shut in with precipice at the far end, but it opens out into a shining tableland where there is greener pasture on the other side. And our shepherd is preeminently qualified because our shepherd has already traveled through the valley of the shadow of death and has been raised to life. Matthew Henry says, "There's one word which sounds terrible here. It's death. But there are four words which lessen the terror, the shadow of death. There's no substantial evil in it. The shadow of a serpent will not sting, nor the shadow of a sword kill. Because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, every Christian can say with confidence, 'O death, where is your sting?' But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord." And while we sit here, many of us experiencing good health with length of days ahead of us, it might be hard for us to feel the comfort and the peace now that some in our congregation are currently feeling, who are face to face with the shadow of death. The truth is, we may never experience the comfort that Psalm 23 speaks of until we actually enter that valley. But we have the promise of God's word that He will be with us. When we face death, our shepherd is the one who said, "I'm the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." Only Jesus has those keys. Is He your shepherd today? Christian friend, the Lord promises to be with you. The question is, do you believe Him? I think Psalm 23 presents at least five reasons that we can trust Jesus as our shepherd. Reason number four in verse 5, because He blesses us in the midst of difficulty. He blesses us while we're still experiencing difficulty. Look at verse 5. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Now, when I got to verse 5 and 6, I don't know if you have ever thought about this, or maybe if this week it sort of happened to you as well, but verse 5 and 6, it kind of ends in a cumbersome way as I was trying to make the images fit sheep and shepherd. But I was instructed, when several commentators, in fact, suggested that there's a change of metaphors here, that David has been speaking about the Lord as his shepherd, but now he begins speaking as the Lord, as a host who's prepared a lavish feast. The host, the Lord Jesus Christ, prepares a table before him in the presence of his enemies, and he anoints his head with oil, and his cup overflows. The table is well set. The guests have been honored with the festive oil of gladness, which was traditional in those days, and then their cups are brimming with wine to make them joyful. All of this, note where? In the presence of their enemies. In the presence of their enemies. This imagery reminds us that in life, we will experience difficulty. We will live in the presence of our enemies. It also reminds us that the Lord has blessed us by overcoming and conquering all of our enemies, sin, death, and hell. Friend, your neighbor is not your enemy, and even if your neighbor makes himself your enemy, you can love him. And in the presence of our enemies, while we're still enduring the difficulty, the Lord invites us to celebrate and anticipate the victory. That's different than what often happens to me when I experience the presence of my enemies. How about you? Usually, it sucks the life out of me. Usually, it ruins my day or my week. When I experience difficulty, I'm doing anything but anticipating and feasting. But the Lord Jesus Christ wants to remind us that He has prepared for us a feast. And understanding and anticipating that, we can actually experience joy in the midst of our suffering. We can be sure that whatever difficulty we're experiencing is not going to last. This is not forever. We can be sure that this suffering is also under the sovereign hand of our gracious God, and He is big enough to use suffering to accomplish really good things in us and through us. We don't have to despair and fall to pieces. We don't have to live in the mully grubs and the dumps just because we're in the presence of difficulty. We can actually feast, Christian friend. The Lord has given us victory over our enemies. The question is, are we feasting? You can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Reason number five. Instead of being pursued by his enemies, David sees something else that has been pursuing him. Instead of just being surrounded by difficulty and his enemies, David sees something else that surrounds him. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When David looks back, he sees God. When David looks forward, he sees God. And friends, the all-encompassing presence of God is the fitting culmination of this masterpiece. It all starts with God, and it all ends with God, and everything in the middle is saturated with the presence and the sovereign grace of our God. Look to your past. Just in the quietness of this moment, just take just a moment. Look at your past. Do you see that God has pursued you with his goodness and mercy from the very beginning? Now look to the future. Do you see, Christian, that God promises that you will dwell in his presence forever? When we see God's goodness and mercy in the past, when we see God's presence promised forever, what does that do for us right here and right now? It secures us. It gives a sense of security that frees us to live and die without fear. Grace of God is our security, not our faithfulness, but His. Insecurity causes all kinds of anxiety and fear. But security, when you really feel secure in your relationship, then you have joy in the presence and peace about the future. Here's what Jesus, our shepherd, says. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. You could just stop right there and think about that all day. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Friends, the Lord has secured you in this life and the next. The question is, are you living in the freedom and joy of that security? Psalm 23 has given us at least five reasons that we can trust Jesus as our shepherd. He provides all we need. He leads us where we need to go. He comforts us in the face of death. He blesses us in the midst of difficulty, and he secures us in this life and the next. My question for you this morning is Psalm 23, your present tense prayer and experience. Not just the Lord is my shepherd, but all of the rest of it. Maybe a better question would be this: which of these sets of words describes you right here, right now? Are you experiencing contentment and comfort and confidence? Or are you experiencing discontentment and distress and discouragement? How we feel in life speaks volumes about who we trust. How we feel speaks volumes about who we trust. Psalm 23 is given to us to encourage us to trust our shepherd. That doesn't mean the absence of trouble, friends. It assumes it. Psalm 23 is full of need and trouble and death and enemies. But the point of this beautiful psalm is that trusting your shepherd in the midst of those difficulties will bring contentment and comfort and confidence rather than the debilitating opposites. So my prayer this morning is that you will trust in a greater way than ever our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you kept your promise. You are our shepherd. You sought and rescued our souls. You have provided all we need and led us in paths of righteousness and comfort us and bless us and secure us. You have done all of this. Thank you that you have provided a shepherd and his name is Jesus. I pray that by your grace, we would grow to trust him so that we would be content with what he provides, so that we would follow where he leads, so that we would believe him even in the face of death, so that we would feast instead of fearing our enemies, and so that we would rest in the security of his all-encompassing presence. May our lives be a masterpiece for your glory and the advance of your gospel. It's in Jesus, our shepherd's name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.